Thank you, Brother Jeff, and we'll now turn our attention to our Brother Jeff to bring to us the words of exhortation.
Good morning. Be strong and courageous. That's what we read out of Deuteronomy, our first reading, or it was yesterday's reading, I guess, Deuteronomy 30. No, sorry, it's today's reading. Yesterday's reading was all about the choice that was presented to the people of Israel. And the choice was this, in verse 15 of chapter 30. See, I set before you life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, keep his commands and decrees and laws, and then you will live. And later on, the people were told, now choose life. And when Moses was told by God that Joshua would succeed him, would take over the leadership of the people, sorry, I really want to see your faces. When he was told that he'd like to take Joshua and give Joshua these words, he was told to tell Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And we take this phrase, be strong and courageous, and we think, boy, that's comforting. At least that's my first impression. I don't know what you think, but my first impression is, wow, that's a comforting phrase. Be strong and courageous. You know, it implies that there's going to be an opportunity for the people to be strong and courageous. It means that Joshua particularly is being told, you will need to be strong and courageous. There will be a time when you will feel afraid, when it will seem like everything is falling down around you. And in fact, that's exactly what God tells Moses will happen. In this context, just a bit further down, he also says in verse 8 of chapter 31, just to underline this, the Lord himself goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why is he saying all of this? Be strong and courageous. Well, verse 21 of chapter 31, it says, and when many disasters and difficulties come upon them, this is the people of Israel, this song will testify against them. It's talking about the song of Moses that Moses was to write and then present to the people, so that they would remember. This song will testify against them because it will not be forgotten by their descendants. I know what they are disposed to do even before I bring them to the land that I promised them on oath. And Moses writes the song down and he's told again, give this command to Joshua. Once again in verse 23, be strong and courageous for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them on oath and I myself will be with you. Now, Moses is just about to die. He's been told that this is the end of his life. And what is he also told? Verse 27, I know how rebellious and stiff-necked you are. If you have been rebellious against the Lord while I am still alive and with you, how much more will you rebel after I die? Assemble before me all the elders of your tribes and all the officials so I can speak these words in their hearing. And this is Moses talking to the people, telling them that I know you're stiff-necked. After God has told him to be strong and courageous, why? Well, because this is exactly what God told him in the earlier verses, what would happen. He said they will turn away. And you can see that just up above. Now write down for yourselves, verse 19, the song and teach it to the Israelites. Again, what's this song? It's a witness. When I've brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey that I've promised, and they eat their fill and thrive, they will turn to other gods and worship them, rejecting me and breaking my covenant. And here's the key. When many disasters and difficulties come upon them, this song will testify against them because it will not be forgotten by their descendants. I know what they are disposed to do. So he's told to be strong and courageous. Rather tell Joshua, because Joshua was the one who was to lead the people. And it was going to be difficult. He was told, be strong and courageous because you will need to be. You know, we're not told to be strong and courageous. And let's think about applying this to ourselves as a spiritual people of Israel. If we don't have the opportunity to actually practice being strong and courageous, it means that we're tried, doesn't it? And what is our inclination, the inclination of our heart? Verse 21 describes the people, that their inclination, when many disasters and difficulties came upon them, was to turn away. Be strong and courageous in what? Where's our faith, our belief, our confidence, our conviction? It is in God's strength. So it's essential to understand in whom, because we can think about being strong and courageous and think that this is a great phrase to remember and forget who really is our strength. Because Deuteronomy 30 talked about blessings. The return of the people and the promise of mercy and forgiveness and grace and this choice, it seems like the obvious choice of life or death. Well, choose life. Why wouldn't we? That is the logical conclusion. And Moses knew short term there would be disobedience from the people of Israel. He was also given a vision, wasn't he? He was given a vision, and he was given a vision of the kingdom age. He knew that the kingdom age would come and he would be a part of it. Even though he would die on this mountain before entering the land. And he never forgot this vision. And that, I think, is what sustained him. That even in these last days, God telling him this, he knew. He knew what this people would do. He knew what he was inclined to do. And he knew he couldn't count on his own strength, but the courage and strength that he had was from God. Come over to our Isaiah reading. Isaiah Isaiah 3 and 4, and again we have a number of judgments against Jerusalem and Judah. Look at verse 1. See, now the Lord Almighty is about to take from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support, all supplies of food and of water, the essentials, and all else that's essentially gone bad. And they're stumbling. Come down to verse 8. This is the point that it gets to. Jerusalem staggers. Judah is falling. Their words and deeds are against the Lord, defying his glorious presence. The look on their faces testifies against them. They parade their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them. They've brought disaster on themselves. I was rather struck by that verse. The look on their faces testifies against them. Their speech and their deeds are against the Lord. That is the challenge. That's a challenge for us. How do we stand up, be strong and courageous? Well, we're challenged with sin in our lives. We're challenged with it in ourselves. We're challenged with concepts around us of human thinking. And yet, in verse 10, it says, tell the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. And this theme of fruit comes up a few times in our readings, actually. Funny, because we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and in Sunday school and many of the classes, and for the last couple of weeks we've had the verse in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and we can probably rely on some of the Sunday school kids out there to say the rest of the verse for us. Nine things. And so it's made me think a lot about fruit. We're also growing fruit in our garden. We hope it will ripen and be tasty. It's hard work, isn't it, to bear fruit? And, you know, even when you cheat and you buy a plant that's already grown a little bit in a greenhouse, you still have to plant it, you still have to give it sun, you still have to care for it. It grows because God has made it to grow. But if you don't supply it with what it needs, then it withers and dies. You put it in a pot and you leave it on the corner of the patio and you don't water it, well, you've got a broken, burnt out stick with no fruit. And that's really what it's about. Be strong and courageous. is not about self. It's not about us deciding to be strong and courageous. It's about our God being our strength and our courage moving forward, because we know the breadth and the depth of his grace and his mercy towards us. And it's not natural. The natural thing is to let sin show in our faces, our desires, to fall for whatever the world around us wants to convince us of. And indeed, chapter four continues with the vision. And following in the theme of the branch, who is Christ, where we're told in verse 2, in that day the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. I'll read it from another version. It puts it this way: and the day, in that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. I thought, well, what are those who have escaped? Well, in this chapter 3, a chapter about Israel who had departed from God and wasn't counting on him for their strength and their courage, come to verse 10. We just read it. Let's read it again. Tell the righteous it will be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruit of their deeds. Woe to the wicked, and we're back to that. Disasters upon them. They will be paid back for what they've done. You suppress my people. Oh, my people, your guides lead you astray and turn you from the path. In this long chapter about everything that had gone wrong, there is the righteous. And they're righteous not because they were strong and courageous, but because they counted on God their strength and had courage and faith in his strong arm to save. Certainly this is the remnant that is spoken of in verse 2 of chapter 4. The survivors, the Israel that has escaped. And so we can come all the way to Colossians chapter 1 and we read in verse 6, well, 5, let's start at verse 5. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. And you have already heard about the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. And then to verse 10, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of the Lord, of God, being strengthened with all power, be strong enough, a good courage, being strengthened with all power, according to us, no, according to his glorious might, that you may have great endurance, long-suffering, patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, fruits of the Spirit, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. And how does this qualification really work? Well, it works because we're presented in life with trials and difficulties. It's not always easy. If we're to be strong and courageous, there has to be that time of fear and doubt and trial and hardship. And it's an opportunity to show where our strength and our courage really comes from. Now, where does it really come from? Well, verse, just come over to chapter 2 of Colossians. And verse 4. Verse 2, Paul states his purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, that we may have full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In other words, he is the branch that was promised that we already read about in Isaiah. He is that prophesied Savior, that branch. And verse 4 continues, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments or delude you with plausible arguments. Down to verse 8, Paul says again, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition and according to the elemental things of the world and not according to Christ. Rather, and come to verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And that thanks comes from understanding the gift of life that God has extended to each one of us in Christ. And God is all-powerful. He can be our courage and our strength when we think we can't go any further. You know, Jeremiah, and if you just come to chapter 6 of Jeremiah, describes Israel again in the same circumstance where they're basically surrounded. Did I say 6? Yes. 6. They're surrounded, they're under siege, and what's left? They have so many problems, and there are various verses we could go to, and just hopping through the chapter here, maybe verse 6, this is what the Lord God says, cut down the trees and build siege ramps against Jerusalem. This city must be punished. It is filled with oppression. So it's under siege for a reason. To whom, verse 10, can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. We can't get to this point. Verse 16, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths and ask where the good way is and walk in it and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. Come to chapter 7, verse 4. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, then I will let you live in this place in the land. forever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. You know, there are always pressures in our lives. They come from around us, from what we hear, what we experience. They can be for good and they can be for evil. How do we look at each of these challenges? Are they opportunities for God to work in us and to show his strength? Or do we forget about that and just try to get through it on our own courage? Sometimes we forget. And our ears are stopped. And we don't walk in the way of God. And we don't hear the sound of the trumpet. You know, and I might have brought this up in the past, but I think it's a powerful example. And it's in Herod in the New Testament. Herod and John the Baptist. And actually, just come to Matthew 14. Speaking of pressures. None of us are kings, and we don't have a decision to literally take off someone's head or not. We don't have someone's life in our hands in a moment like this, but our decisions certainly affect lives, especially our own. And this chapter 14 is of course when Herod the Tetrarch is faced with this decision. He'd had John arrested. And he put him in prison because of Herodias, Philip's wife. And we read in verse 4 of this chapter, "For John had been saying to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.'" Well, of course, it wasn't a good thing. The kind of relationships that they had, and Herod, of course, wanted to kill John, it says in verse 5, because he was afraid of the people. He didn't. They considered him a prophet. So he wanted to keep the people happy, of course, because he wants to keep his reign under control. But And not create potential for riots. But on the other hand, he couldn't have this man talking about something he'd done publicly, that it was wrong. How that hurts, doesn't it? When we're told that we're in the wrong, and we are in the wrong, and we just lash out. And instead of accepting the truth. And this is quite the example. He wanted to put him to death. He feared the people. They held him a prophet. But it's interesting in Mark 6, the parallel passage in Mark 6 and 19 and 20, and I'll just read this one for you. Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted him put to death. Herodias, not Herod. But she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing he was a righteous and holy man, he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. It's interesting, it paints another aspect to this relationship that Herod had with John. He does actually has some regard for him. And he listened to him. And yet, what did he value the most? In Mark 14, 9 and 10, it was his position of respect publicly before the nation and power. That's what he valued. And the king was sorry, it says in verse 9. Nevertheless, because of the oaths, he was sorry. He was sorry that he had to end this man's life who really didn't deserve it. He was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it be given to her, and that it was John's head on a platter. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. Now, certainly John was someone of strength and courage, was he not? I think John would have said that his God was strong and gave him courage. Consider the following quotes from Mark. Mark 8, verse 38. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with holy angels. And Mark 10, 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Who is our strength, really? In the next chapter in Matthew, there's a verse, another verse that stands out, and it talks about roots and plants, because we've been talking about the fruit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. And where are our roots? And in verse 13 of chapter 15, we read this. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. What's uprooted? What happens to a plant when it's uprooted? Almost the same as when you leave it in a pot on the corner of the patio and don't water it. It just turns to dust. It dies. It's a total end. The roots are the support for that plant. But if we're not planted by our Father in heaven, we don't have a chance. Because those kinds of plants will be eliminated. They'll be uprooted. They will not last. This kind of thinking. And it's not just about yanking on the plant and pulling the leaves off, because what happens with those weeds when you just yank the leaves off? Well, they just grow again. They're still there. The roots are there. The whole plant will be uprooted. So where are our roots? Where is our strength, and where does our courage come from? Now, I just want to read a few encouraging verses before we wrap up. About strength. And where it comes from. Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible. Genesis 18:14, is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Numbers 11:23, the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. Job 42, verse 2, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Psalm 3, verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. Psalm 62, verse 11, once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Jeremiah 32, 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Zechariah 8, 6, thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is too difficult in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, will it also be too difficult in my sight, declares the Lord of hosts. Mark 10, 27, looking at them, Jesus said, with people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with him. Luke 1, 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Luke 18, 27, but he said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. God can do all things. In him we can trust. He has kept his promises. And if you read the Song of Moses, that's what it's about. The song that Moses was to sing or to present to the people was about everything God had told them would happen that did, including consequences and blessings. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Where is our belief, our confidence, our strength? If we believe, we will pray. If we believe, we know that our prayers are heard. If we believe, we know indeed they are answered. And Isaiah 4, verse 2, again, we read it. What is our joy and our hope? Is it not to be with Christ in this day? And the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped, for the remnant who are his, for the remnant who was planted in him, who received the water from him, the living water. Come over to Psalm 85 to finish. Interestingly, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Who also would have had to have their own courage and strength from God. Not of their own, not like their father. Verse 7. In fact, the entire psalm is one that we could read, but verse 7 says, show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. His salvation surely is near those who fear him. How is it near to us? Verse 8, I will listen. I will listen to what God will say. He promises peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not return to folly. Listen. And then verse 13, righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. And what does a step mean? Well, a step means we've made a decision. It means I'm going from here to there. I decided to make that step. I'm responsible for that step. Was it a step in his way and in his strength? It's a choice, isn't it? Righteousness goes before him, verse 13, and prepares the way for his steps. And the Lord, the verse before, will give the harvest. The land will yield its harvest. And so, if God is our refuge and our strength, and our only hope and our confidence, our fortress, if it is to him that we look when we're confronted by the trials and stresses of life and temptation, indeed, that comes from within, if we really believe that God can do anything, we can't believe as Herod did and just enjoy listening. If we really believe that God can do anything, it will show, and our love for him will grow. If we really believe that God can do anything, we know that he has brought us in this way into his kingdom.